final decision about who's in the godly group and who's in the wicked group. Jesus said at the end of the age there will be a judgment where he divides, he used the description sheep and goats. Our job is simply to share the good news, because people who are behaving wickedly right now may repent and come to the Lord through you sharing Jesus with them. So we shouldn't judge people. That's God's job. Our job is to share the gospel with them. So secondly, who can you pray for this week that you know that doesn't yet trust in God, like this psalm tells us to? Could maybe a person of peace at work or at school or a neighbour or a relative. Thirdly, ask the Holy Spirit, what is the next step you want me to take in my friendship with this person? So without further ado, we looked at the first part of Psalm 37, the beginning of January, so I'll just read it. Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. For like grass, they soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they soon wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn. Some of us have been falsely accused or even taken to court. But this promise says that God will make our innocence radiate like the dawn. And the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord. Sometimes we get all agitated and we just need to calm down and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm. For the wicked will be destroyed, but those who trust in the Lord will possess the land. And in my PowerPoints, I've realised that I've missed out verses 10 to 11, so I'm just going to read them here. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land. The meek is people who trust God and keep trusting God patiently as long as it takes. And enjoy, the meek will enjoy peace and prosperity. I think if I go on, yeah, I've got verse 12 here. So what I've done for the rest of the psalm, I've highlighted in grey the wicked, and I've highlighted in yellow the godly and the Lord. So everyone ultimately is going to have to make a choice which of those two groups and which side they're on. And, you know, we are here today because we've chosen to trust in the Lord. So we'll see what this psalm has to say about us. It will encourage us about what it says about the wicked, those who reject God, ultimately, finally reject God. And in the people that we know, we can encourage, we can pass on the message of this psalm to help them make that right choice. The wicked plot against the godly. And some of us have had that recently happening. They snarl at them in defiance, but the Lord just laughs. For he sees their day of judgment coming. As I was listening to Joseph Prince this morning, he said Jesus could come back this year. It is a possibility. Who would be happy if that happened? Yes, it'd be wonderful. And the way we live this year can bring it forward. In 2 Peter it says that we can hasten the day of the Lord. If we're faithful, if we're listening to the Lord, we're doing what he's called us to do, we're doing the good works that God's prepared for us to do, then we can speed up Jesus' return. The wicked draw their swords and string their bows to kill the poor and the oppressed, to slaughter those who do right. But their swords will stab their own hearts and their bows will be broken. It is better to be godly and have little than to be evil and rich. For the strength of the wicked will be shattered, but the Lord takes care of the godly. So basically, we can see these two kinds of people, those who want God, love and accept him as their creator and king, and those who reject him and want to be the king of their own lives. God, the creator of all humans, allows a period of time for people to choose which way they want to live. But he warns what the result will be for each choice and how there will be a conflict between each group. So basically, Jesus said, you know, this world persecuted me, they hated me, they're going to hate you, they're going to persecute you. And it says that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution from people who hate God. And some of us, I know, have experienced that recently. But our job is to preach the gospel to them. Because even like Paul the Apostle, who used to be called Saul, didn't he? He was holding the coats when the people who hated God were stoning Stephen to death. But God changed him from the wicked to the godly, supernaturally. And God's called us to help people make that change. Going on to verse 18. Day by day, the Lord takes care of the innocent, and they will receive an inheritance that lasts forever. They will not be disgraced in hard times. Even in famine, they will have more than enough. So, you know, the economy's inflation's going sky high, interest rates, you know, things are tough. Don't know what Putin's going to do next, and the world economy, what's China going to do? Things could get a lot worse, but these words are true. We will not be disgraced in hard times, amen? And even in famine, even in recession, even in you know, unemployment or whatever might happen, we will have more than enough. Amen. So tell the person next to you, I will always have more than enough. And that's from the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. There's so many instances in the Bible where that is. You can see how that went. Verse 20, but the wicked will die. The Lord's enemies are like flowers in a field. They will disappear like smoke. So Jesus promised that if we put God first and follow his commands, then he will provide everything we need and an everlasting home and blessing. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and everything you need, food, clothes, money to pay the energy bills, put fuel in your car, whatever you need, God will provide that. If you're seeking first his kingdom, not second, not third, first. Whereas those who reject their creator are biting the hand that feeds and sustains their life. That's a saying, isn't it, in English? Don't bite the hand that feeds you. It's a dumb thing to do. God is the hand that feeds every human life. You know, I don't know how many times our hearts have beat since we arrived here, but without Jesus, they wouldn't keep beating. You know, we don't have to think about it. It's part of God's amazing creation. God's sustaining everything. He says he's holding the universe together by his power. And so those who reject their creator will ultimately get what they choose, an existence without God's goodness, where there will be, as Jesus said, darkness, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. Now that is a stupid choice to choose that. And our job, we're on a mission to try and convince people to make a wise choice. Amen. So to realize that there is a creator, this world is not an accident, evolution is just a myth. Obviously, natural selection happens and, you know, and all the rest of it, but you cannot go from a pool of soup and chemicals to what we see around us today. That's impossible, scientifically impossible. God is the creator, and we need to know him. He's a loving father. Like the parable of the prodigal son that I talked about at the beginning, God is scanning the horizon, looking for foolish, wicked people to turn around like that son did, to get out of the pigsty and start heading back to their father, their creator. And when people do that, the Father God comes running and throws his arms around them and welcomes them. He's not a God who wants to condemn and judge and kill and destroy. But those who choose that path, that will be their end. Death will be their end, everlasting separation from God. Let's carry on, verse 21. The wicked borrow and never repay. So Psalm talks about the financial world now. You might know people that borrow and don't pay back their debts when they could. The context is they could pay it back, but they don't want to. They're selfish, they're mean and stingy. But the godly are generous givers. Tell the person next to you, I'm a generous giver. I'm a generous giver. And I thank God for all you generous givers in this church. I'm doing some gift aid claims going back a few years now, so we'll have some money to invest in God's kingdom as he leads us. The godly are generous givers. Those the Lord blesses will possess the land. Those he curses will die. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. Who would like God's direction this year? I certainly would. You know, we don't want to just lean on our own understanding. We want God to direct our steps. And how does that happen? By us asking him to. God's not going to come in and force you to go in a certain, take a certain choice. You have to ask him and say, God, what do you want me to do? What direction do you want me to go in? And then he will show you. He delights in every detail of their lives. That's good, isn't it? He knows how many hairs there are on our head. You know, he knows when a sparrow falls to the ground, so he knows everything. He knows how much money's in your bank account right now. He knows how much food's in your fridge. You know, he knows what's going on, all the thoughts that go through our minds, and he loves us. Though the godly stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. That's good, isn't it? We're not perfect yet, so we all, it says in James, we all stumble and fail in many ways. But if we will humbly keep trusting in the Lord and ask him to forgive us, which he will, through Christ's death on the cross, he will hold us by the hand, he will pick us up, and we'll keep going. So some things from these verses. One way you can tell which people are trusting and following God and which people are trusting in themselves is how they handle money. So someone who's trusting God will be generous. Someone who's trusting in themselves will be selfish, as a general rule here. God is a good father to those who love and trust in him. He blesses and gives to his children, and he helps them when they stumble or fall. Hallelujah. I really love these verses. They've been going through my mind recently over the last few weeks. Once I was young, and now I'm old. I'm definitely a bit older than I was. Yet I have never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread. Now, I have seen the godly's children having a few temporary tough times, but if you keep watching long enough, it gets really good. And God really blesses their socks off. How many of us have seen that? Amen. So what this is saying is, the choices we make not only affect us, they affect our children, physical, spiritual. Okay, God's blessings cannot be contained, they overflow. And I'm very grateful for my parents, for my grandparents, who were people of faith, who loved God, loved Jesus. And I am blessed because of them. Amen. And I'm passing that on to the next generation. You know, I really enjoy discipling Macaulay. I'm passing on all I can to help him, my own children. You know, this is the way God works. And here's a bit of instruction for us. And this is for everyone. So this is the message we've got from the wicked, the people we know that don't yet trust in Jesus. Our advice to them is turn from evil, being selfish, doing what you want, and do good. Do what God wants. Give your life to God, and you will live in the land forever. And you know, there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth. We're going to have a new planet to live on. God's going to completely refurbish it. Hallelujah. So I'm not worried about the climate change, you know, that's going on. God is going to sort that out. And my job is to help as many people as possible be ready for that new world that's coming. For the Lord loves justice. And when I was at this men's conference yesterday, they were teaching about God is a judge. Why does he implement justice? Because he loves. And the guy gave the illustration of, if you were walking down the street with your family, or maybe nephews, nieces, children, whatever, and someone, random stranger, just came up and attacked another member of your family, particularly if they're younger and weaker than you, what would you do? Because you love them, you would intervene. You would want to stop that injustice happening. You would defend them. And you know, that's what motivates God's justice, and that's why he will judge the wicked at the end of the world. And it says for the godly that those who trust in Christ, we've already passed from judgment through judgment. God judged Jesus for us. We receive his blessings. And the judgment of seat of Christ in the New Testament is for God to reward the godly for what they've done. And someone who's been born again but then just lived, you know, a disobedient life, as long as they're trusting in Christ, they'll get to heaven, but they won't have any rewards. For those of us who say, you know, I'm going to give everything up for Jesus, I'm going to follow him for the rest of my life. You know, there's people you can read through history that have done that. Hudson Taylor went to China. He was very clever. C.T. Studd was at Cambridge. He was studying to be a doctor. He could have been very wealthy, but he gave it all up, went as a missionary to China. And many other Christians throughout history have done that. And, you know, God will bless them. It is amazing to see, it says here, the Lord loves justice, he will never abandon the godly. Tell the person next to you, God will never abandon you. Here's a good one, he will keep them safe forever. But tell the person next to you, God's going to keep you safe all through your life. And people who actively believe this, it will be true for them. You know, the problems very often you may have heard of Christians, bad things happen, they get mugged or attacked or whatever. And what you'll probably find is they are not actively believing and trusting these promises. So, I mean, all I can do and all you can do is read this for yourself, believe it, hang on to it, and you will see it come to pass in your life. But the children of the wicked will die. The godly will possess the land and will live there forever. Okay, he's going to judge all people at the end of the world. Let's just quickly finish these. So the godly offer good counsel. So if you need advice, go to someone who loves God and loves the Bible and knows it. Don't go to the ungodly. The godly teach right from wrong, whereas the wicked are confused. So, you know, the godly will tell you there are only two genders, there's a male and a female, because that's the way God created us. And, you know, that will bring a lot of peace, even to people who are confused or people who suffer from gender dysphoria. God can use us to help them get through that. But the answer is not to mutilate their bodies, to take drugs, to try and change the way God created them. But the godly have made God's law their own, so they will never slip from his path. The wicked wait in ambush for the godly, looking for an excuse to kill them. That might happen to us. In the future, someone might try and ambush us or even try and kill us. But what will happen? The Lord will not let the wicked succeed or let the godly be condemned when they're put on trial. So those of us facing trials, that's a good verse there. There is a spiritual battle going on throughout this age between those who trust in God and those who hate him. Our job is to spread the good news of Jesus Christ and the gift of an everlasting friendship with God. Jesus will protect us from those who want to kill us and protect us from those who want us to put us on trial for believing and speaking the truth about him. Put your hope in the Lord. Travel steadily along his path. He will honour you by giving you the land. You will see the wicked destroyed. That's amazing, isn't it? And at the end of this age, you know, the people who reject and hate God are going to be thrown in the lake of fire, it says in Revelation. We're going to see that. Kind of quite a sobering thought. David says, I have seen wicked and ruthless people flourishing like a tree in its native soil, but when I looked again, they were gone. Though I searched for them, I could not find them. So King David is telling us how we can be a part of the people of God and what the result of doing this will be. What's the basis of our hope? Put your hope in the Lord, it says. Ultimately, only the Lord can be relied upon for a good future life. Nothing else is reliable. You know, people might have good intentions, but they can't always be relied upon. The Lord can. The Lord is great. Hallelujah. Let's finish this off. I think these are the last verses. Look at those who are honest and good, for a wonderful future awaits those who love peace. But the rebellious will be destroyed. They have no future. The Lord rescues the godly. He is their fortress in times of trouble. The Lord helps them, rescuing them from the wicked. He saves them and they found shelter in him. So King David wrote all that. And if you think about the life of King David, he wasn't just talking theory here. He'd actually seen all that happen. Amen. You know, and I'm 57 now, and I've seen quite a few of those things happen in my lifetime that he's describing there. I've seen what happens to wicked people. I've seen what happens to godly people who trust God. And you will find this true as you go through your life. What's the reason for the different future waiting for the godly and the wicked? It is the Lord God Almighty. And you can see that the wicked try and attack they try and attack the godly, but it's a stupid thing to do, to attack someone who's on God's side, because God cannot be defeated. There's a good verse here. No human wisdom or understanding or plan can stand against the Lord. He's cleverer than all the humans on this planet put together. Amen. And in the book of Job, when Job has finished all his moaning and complaining and his friends have finished giving all their stupid advice to him, which was wrong, God appears to him and just shows him a little bit of what he's like, and Job just realizes, I'm just going to be quiet now, because I see, God, that you are bigger than me, you know a lot more than me, and I was just talking like rubbish, really. And he humbled himself, and then God blessed him. And you know, we need to have that wonderful. This is a wonderful picture in this psalm of what David learned from his own life, and it applies to us who trust in Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the Son of God. He's the Messiah. That's a Hebrew word that means the anointed king, which actually means he's the descendant of David, who was promised, and who is David's king. And that's amazing. So let's just finish there. So hopefully there was a promise in Psalm 37 that touched you, that lodged in your mind or in your heart or in your spirit, that you can hold on to for this year. And hopefully there's some people that you can pray for that don't yet know God in the way described here, and that we can tell them how to know God as their Father, as their shelter, as their defender, as their rescuer, as their fortress, as their all the things that are described in that psalm. And we can ask the Holy Spirit, even this week, Holy Spirit, what's the next thing you want me to say to my friend? Or what's the next thing you want me to do to bless them and show them what you're like? So let's finish there.